you know, that we don't have to strive in the presence of the Lord. We can come as we are. I'm still playing catch up with how the Lord's spoken this morning. I'm still on the dove in the ark, and I thought, well, there's such a gentleness about a dove, and there's such security in the ark that we don't need to strive in His presence. Something wonderful, the picture of the dove and the Holy Spirit. If we have access, He will do such amazing things. I want to be in the ark again this morning, place myself in that safety and security. Thank you, Lord, for speaking already this morning. We do not need to strive in His presence. We do not need to want to be anyone or anything, but just be that dove that can just go and rest in the ark. I love that. I'm still playing catch up with all the various contributions, the body ministry, but ultimately the Lord speaking, isn't it? Precious Lord. I was sat over in the noisy half one Sunday morning recently. Sorry, noisy half. It's usually where the kids congregate, and it's great. I love it. And I was sat there, and Fred Tomlinson was speaking here. And I was just thinking, Lord, I was trying to get in my mind, Lord, what would you like? What would you like to be said when I have to stand up here and face you, lovely people? And I said, Lord, would you just put something on my heart? Even if it's just a word, a crumb, I'd be so happy. And he gave me two words, like he does. And he said, be released. And someone prayed earlier on about someone being stuck. Don't know if it was in prison or in a hole or in a dark place. And I had an overwhelming emotions and feelings of that the only one that can release you and I is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I clearly had those words, be released. And then I thought, well, it's me. What do I need to be released from? Lord, here I am. I'm ready to be released. I'm ready to... Is there anything that holds or binds me or captivates me? And I think it's right that we offer ourselves first. We can often, the Lord speak, oh, that's got to be for so-and-so there. That's got to be for, yeah, oh, this is clearly for you. I'm going to... In actual fact, when the Lord speaks, He quickens your own heart. And you have to yield yourself. We've heard it this morning. So I yielded myself. I said, Lord, anything. Anything at all. Release me. And then I started to chew on it and said, Lord, is it for someone else? Maybe this morning it's for you. The hardest thing about being released is that there is a vulnerability where you're in a place of vulnerability. You're almost saying, Lord, I need to be released from this. It can be from sin. Often a word that's not used, I don't think, so much these days is sin. Especially if you some of the new songs that are coming out, sin is almost being eradicated from the songs because it causes offence. Sin is sin. Darkest, most depraved thing. But there is releasing from it. Be released. Precious Lord, He's wonderful, isn't He? There is no strategy, no method, often no knowing how the Lord does it, but He does it. And this morning I want to take you to two places in Scripture that talk about a report, about believing a report. I tried to go in my loft this week to find some of my old school reports, and I was going to put them up on the thing here, and you'd all have a laugh because they were terrible. The word satisfactory was often on my school report, and I was very below average. And then I came across my wife's reports. Oh, I love my wife. And our reports are very different. I think she's to take an apple into the teacher. But I chose not to because I thought it would embarrass her. But her reports were good. And it was a good report. So I just want to take you to, if you've got your Bible, to John chapter 12. And primarily this morning we're going to be in just an incredible chapter in Isaiah, which you all know, the suffering servant. But before we go there, let me just read these verses in John chapter 12. This is at the time of the feast. Verse 20, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and Philip told Jesus, and then Jesus answered, saying, The hour has that Son of the Man should be glorified. The hour has come, Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit, much grain. I'll get my words right in a minute. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then it goes on. And it says this in verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Verse 32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And when I read that verse, I was thinking along the lines of, and I was misdirected, but I was thinking that there is some energy from us that we need to lift up the name of Jesus. Something in us, and then again, going back to some new songs, there's lift up, and there's nothing against it, but it goes to the energy of man. Lift up the name of Jesus. In actual fact, he's saying here, the next verse after, this he said, signifying by what death he would die. Something totally different. Gave this picture of from earth, and I believe that when he went to the cross, he would have had that cross beam, and there would have been a beam and a slot for it to be fixed into, and there would have been that lifting up from earth upwards, signify the actual picture of what was going to happen. You know, if you're going to be released, and if there's any releasing to be done, it's through that act on the cross. It is clearly from that act of, it's not through any of the energy of ourselves, it's from that act of earth going up. Wonderful. And then it goes on. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is the Son of Man? These are people that are questioning at the time. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. And then it goes on, verse 38, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And there's something about reports. I've been doing work, reading on reports, and it goes on, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see their eyes with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. And I just want to turn you now to Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. I've been in a a time recently in the last few weeks of just being absolutely, and I don't think it's just from my own doing, absolutely so busy, mind consumed with things of reading and studying, the natural fact it can overwhelm you. And in the overwhelming, I was then thrown back to the suffering servant, back to Jesus. We can get so consumed with organizing things, busying ourselves, planning. But really, the Lord just wants to keep this suffering servant so close to our hearts. And if there's anything this morning that I can say is that if you want to be released, believe this report. I'm going to read this report out. Isaiah 53 says this, and I know you know it very well. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he has done no violence, nor was deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. I'll put my hands up to that. For he shall bear their iniquities. I'll put my hand up to that. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Precious Lord, I make no apology for reading the chapter out. Just such wonderful words. Wonderful truth. You know, I was reading Isaiah and it said that the book is basically a mini Bible. 66 chapters. And if you break it up, it's kind of in sections, and it's up to from chapter 1 up to 40, and then 40 to 66. So you've basically got 26 chapters, which is like the New Testament, 26 books. And if you go to the middle of that section, you go to Isaiah 53. And if you go to the middle of that chapter, it says here, where is it, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's almost the centrality of what we believe, isn't it? Right in the middle of this book, if you break it up, I'm not into all the numbers and all this, I don't think the chapters and the numbers are inspired. But in actual fact, it's the key central part of what we believe, isn't it? The incredible thing is it was 800 years old, or around that time. This is a prophecy about 800 years old. Yet its relevance is here now. Incredible, isn't it? What a description. Let me just go through some of the words. Verse 3, despised. This basically means that he was held in contempt. Basically means that he is regarded as worthless. Verse 3, sorrows. This basically means pain, both physical and mental. I don't think we'll ever understand the physical and mental pain that the Lord took upon himself. He was acquainted, which means he knew. He knew what was happening. Verse 3, esteemed. It means to consider. Verse 4, born. Surely he has borne our griefs. Basically, he has bared, he's carried away all our griefs. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 5, transgression. He was wounded for our transgressions. You know, the incredible thing about transgression is basically it's summed up as rebellion. You know that we've had rebellious hearts, don't you? Would you all agree with me? We've come from a place of rebellion. I found it in a certain age. I think I was in my mid-teens, late teens, came to this place where my heart was starting to rebel against church. Something in my heart probably rebelled, I think, against what my family believed in. Why do I need to go? Why do I need to sit there? There was just that thing in me, a heart of rebellion. But the amazing thing is the Lord brings and holds us still so close in the rebellion. Isn't that wonderful? How he suffers long with us in our rebellion. Verse 5, iniquities. This is described as depravity. Perversity. Verse 5, stripes. When it describes stripes, it was when they used to hit them. And I don't know, I don't recommend hitting anyone obviously, but when you've been hit, I remember playing sport before and someone tackling me around here, and it leaves an imprint of fingers. And you can see it, dark, white, dark, white. And it actually literally is the description of that. The Lord was hit and it left marks, it left stripes, black and blue. We describe bruises as black and blue, and it's that description there. I think if you were to see the Lord after they dealt with him, I think his age would have been unrecognizable. He was a man in his early 30s. I think his age would have been unrecognizable. It says in Isaiah, so marred. He was so marred for you and for me. Verse 9, the wicked. It's very interesting that it says here, but with the rich at his death, and he made the grave with the wicked. Well, he was surrounded, wasn't he? Who were the two on the cross next to him? He was surrounded by the wicked, wasn't he? And who owned the tomb after the Lord died? Who was the rich man? Joseph, wasn't it? And I think it just gives an incredible description, doesn't it? Of the Lord dying amongst the wicked, yet one still in his rebellion came through, didn't he? And the rich man that provided a tomb for the Lord Joseph of Arimathea. Just turn with me just to Acts chapter 8. Isaiah was one of the most, well, it is the most quoted book within the New Testament. Just the importance of it. The Lord used it in dealing with people, illustrations, and it is the most referenced book. And this story here, it's Philip and the eunuch. I find it an incredible story. Acts chapter 8. Let's just begin at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. There is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in a chariot he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran. I'm sorry, I'm trying to picture it. And as I picture it, I think the Lord, just his timing, his where he sends you. And I know we've been praying for dear Norman this morning, but he knows he wants to send all of us. He might want to send you to a person that is inquiring of the Lord. We can't just rest upon some going out with the amazing work that the Lord does, but the challenge is for all of us. This guy, Philip, was ready, acting, ready to steam in there. Amazing. That's for all of us, isn't it? You don't look too convinced. No pressure. But there is. We've got amazing opportunity, all of us, to whisper a word in season to someone that does not know. Here's Philip. He's running. He's overtaking a chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard for his reading from the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And I've had that question a few times. "Lord, I don't understand, but would you show me?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" Great picture there of the Holy Spirit that helps us understand Scripture, isn't it? Isn't it? Don't just read it like a textbook. Read it under guidance. It will be a lot more powerful, a lot more real in our lives. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. That's how the Saviour does it, doesn't it? He sits with us. Guides us, takes time with us. The place in the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man?" And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Some other man. Oh, you know that some other man is the one that can release you. Those two words, when I was sat there the other Sunday morning, "Be released," that some other man is Jesus. The man that was taken from the earth and put up on the cross, it's him that can release. Release from what? Well, one of the biggest things is a captive heart. Captivity. He can release you from a captive heart. He can release you from a sleepy heart, a sleepy spirit. Maybe a spirit at the moment that just doesn't believe. What does he release you onto? Himself. What I love about this picture is that there was time involved where the Lord wanted to become side the chariot. He wanted to sit with him. He wanted to take time to understand the scripture. Time. Time. The Lord just wants time with us. You know, this morning I found it wonderful that there was lots going on, wasn't there? There was lots. There was a pouring out. you know, the Lord doesn't at all get flustered with the voice there. I was playing catch up a little bit and trying to reap and trying to, there's a lot going on. But the Lord is amazing that he just takes it, pours it out, speaks through him, speaks through her. Wonderful, isn't he? He wants to come and sit with us. Some other man. You know, this man of sorrows that's so descriptive in Isaiah 53 can still have an impact in a life today. This prophecy of 800 odd years old can still have an impact in lives today. Isn't that an amazing thing? I don't know if you remember when we had the Passion Play and we were all in that field over in Birkenhead Park. I was just stood there looking and gazing on. And there was something about when they went up and they were just on display there. That was, I don't know if you felt it, right? I felt just enormous, like an awesomeness, like an awe. Like almost, we sing that song, never lose the wonder of the cross. Never lose it. And when it went up, there was this, the power of it. The power of that can release a soul. Precious Lord. Have you come to the cross recently? Have you come and kneeled at the cross recently? I went to just come back from a men's weekend, and the subject was the past, the present, and the future, and talking about our perspective of the past, the present, and the future. And lots of people shared and contributed. But the underlying thing of it was that in my mind I was thinking about Isaiah 53. I was thinking about the servant, the man of sorrows. You know, the man of sorrows encapsulates the past, the present, and the future. If you pin your hopes on the future without knowing the wonderful cross, it's not happening. If you live today not being at the cross and taking up your cross daily, you can forget the present. And if you're not near the cross, if you're thinking about the future, then you're lost. We've got to come back to the cross. What a place to be. Helen and I try and go through many songs, and we love to sing, and we just worship. We sing in a car, we sing at home. And one of the things that we love to do is find the song. But you can actually sing in a congregation, which is not easy. Many songs are sung individually, and which are great. You can be in your car, or you can go for it, and then the car comes up beside you and sees you singing, and you had that a few times on the way to Mould. But there's an amazing thing about congregational singing. What's the first verse after Isaiah 53? Sing. Isn't it amazing that Isaiah 53 brings this amazing thing of the Lord as a servant coming, dying, despised, rejected, taking upon himself all of our wretchedness. And then after Isaiah 54, the first word, sing, O barren. And I was sat there, and when I was sat over there thinking about be released, there's something that when you're released, you want to sing. You want to sing, and you want to sing with one another. You want to sing the song of the redeemed. Isn't it true? Why do we each week come here to this place and sing? Why is it that we sing songs that are 40 years old, 200 years old, or a year old, and we sing them, and we sing them the next week, and we sing them the next week. Why do we? Have you ever questioned that? It's just this thing, a wonderful thing of the Lord using these words and lyrics to basically offer to him praise, isn't it? You know, we can get the timing wrong on some of the songs, and maybe the, it's just a vehicle for us to say, Lord, we love you. Thank you. I feed off your faithfulness. Isn't that true? When the, if you know the cross, there is releasing. And when you know releasing, you'll want to sing. Sing, O Baron. And I read this out at the week of prayer. This is such a wonderful picture. And I actually, when I was in my heart, when I was reading it out, I know it's quite descriptive about expansion and all that, and we've been praying for, what, Lord, what do you want with us for the church? But as individuals, as we all go out to various things, I was thinking about the curtains going up. Let me read it. Isaiah, back in Isaiah, sorry. Lost my bookmark. I know where Isaiah is. It's in the Old Testament. Someone once in our youth group said, would you turn to Hezekiah, please? And there was a 5-minute pause. People were looking around at each other, and then they realised we were being tested. There is no Hezekiah in the Bible. But he was just making sure that we were awake, which is a good thing. But we're all awake, aren't we? Here we go, chapter 54. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not laboured with child, for more of the children of the desolate, that the children of the married women, says the Lord. This is a picture of Jerusalem, the church. And then it goes here, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. That's an incredible little thing. You know, the Lord never spares much when he gives. And then it says here, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. The places where Norman will go in these coming weeks, there will be a desolate place. There will be a dry place. But there will be this life that's poured out. And it's the same for you and I. What are we released from? Captivity, sin, pain. What are we released unto? A people that are hungry, thirsty, but primarily to the suffering servant. Praise the Lord for being released. I thought of the scriptures of people in prison. The only thing that you have to do is believe. What happened to the 10 spies? Did they bring back a good report or a bad report? Mixed. I was thinking about that story. Two men, faithful, courageous, didn't so look upon the giants that they were looking at, but they knew that God was on their side and that he would have the victory. The others, they feared for what they saw. The giants. We could never overcome them. Do you know what? Jesus from Isaiah 53 has overcome. He's overcome. He's gone from earth up here and he's risen. That is the only place that there is victory. Do you believe the report? Another word for report, tidings, news. Do you believe this news? Precious Lord, if there is anyone here this morning, and when I sat there the other Sunday morning, I thought, if there was anyone, I asked the Lord, if it's me, Lord, be released. This morning we can come, and I believe the Lord can release souls. I really do. Released unto what? Released unto him. You can become his servant. You can go and do a work. You can just love him. He wants time with us, like he took time with the eunuch, just to read and understand the scripture. He wants our time. Do you want to be released? Do you want the curtains of your tent to go out? One thing that I do find very hard, and I ask the Lord, Lord, for those that I work with, would you strengthen my stakes in my workplace? For the families that you might be so intricated in and feeling their hurt and pain, Lord, strengthen my stakes. In the schools that you represent in teaching, Lord, that the stakes would go out and be strengthened. To India, to Dave in the northern Himalaya country, would the stakes go out even further? To those that are unable to go out, but yet pray in the, through the darkness against, Lord, the spiritual realms. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, do we? Lord, strengthen our stakes. If you want that this morning, you can stand up. If you want your stakes to be strengthened, if your faith is wavering, this morning he can come and release you and have faith, new and fresh faith. Isn't that wonderful? Precious Lord. I've not gone to any of my notes. He's a wonderful Saviour. There was no beauty in him. There was no comeliness. There was nothing that would, in some ways, detract someone's eyes. He just was who he was.